And it's really just carrying on just really from what Joanna said, right? A life with the Spirit, living life with the Spirit of God. So last week we had an amazing baptismal service. For those of you that were here, you can testify. It was, you know, pretty awesome. But baptism is not the finish line, okay? It marks the beginning of a daily walk in the newness of life. So it's just the start. When you get baptized, everything's been cut off, as Joanna said. Spiritually, it does get cut off. And now you're starting a new life. It signifies we have died with Christ and now have the opportunity to live filled with the Holy Spirit. Not through hype or emotion or feelings, but through a steady, obedient, upward-focused life. So the Bible gives us clear instructions on how to continue growing in this new area. So please, if you're able to, turn to your Bibles, Colossians 3:1. I'm going to give you a moment. Colossians 3:1. And we're going to be on this text mainly this afternoon. Are we still in the morning? Afternoon, actually. So Colossians 3:1. And we will just read it slowly together. And we'll let the Holy Spirit just bring alive anything in here that you may need to focus on. So just listen to what God says. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So now we have a few instructions. Verse 5, it says, therefore, okay, listen to this. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked. So that's our old life, when you live in them. But now you yourselves are to put off, okay? You yourselves are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So this verse is just saying, listen, your old man, before you were baptized, put it off. Don't do those things anymore. Old habits, old ways, remove it, right? It's telling you to put it off. You have to put it off, right? Make choices. I can't do that anymore, Lord. I've been baptized. Now I need to do this. So there is a part for us in this verse to do. God doesn't wave his stick, right? It's not a magic wand, right? He doesn't wave it and you're okay. It's not that, right? God has freed you from the power of sin, right? When you get baptized, the power of sin goes. And God says, now you choose what you want to do. Do you want to follow me or do you want to continue? That is a marvelous thing when you get baptized. But you choose. You said, Lord, I'm not going to be led away like before with our own passions and desires. I'm going to choose to throw off the old man. But now you yourselves are to put off these. And so this gives a list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. It could be something else to do with your walk, your old life. Okay? And it says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This means you put on a new suit, right? That suit is Jesus Christ. So you don't have to guess, what do I need to do? You need to be walking and talking, thinking like Jesus Christ. He is the new suit. All right? So there's a separation of the old, and then there's a declaring of the new. So verse 11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all and in all. And then it goes on to say, this verse 12, okay, pay attention. Therefore, now he says, as the elect of God, but you are the elect of God. Can you see a change? The name has changed. The dynamics have changed. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So God's saying, listen, you're holy. You are beloved now. You're not trash anymore. You belong to me. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love. Isn't that awesome? You see, that suit, the new creation, it's like you go to your wardrobe and you've got this brand new shiny suit in your wardrobe, right? And you go and you put it on, right? And that suit has attributes, right? That is the Holy Spirit. You put it on, which is love, which is the bond of perfection. So think about the verse, what God is instructing us to do. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Church, do you see this? Not the chaos of the world. It says, and the peace of God rule in your hearts. Look at the text. To which also you were called. We go back to that verse again, right? God has called you. If you're here today, you're in a church, and you're going to church, and you are serious about God, right? He's called you. He's calling you into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Listen to this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Church, you see the word? You read a bit of the Bible each day, right? That Bible goes into you, right? It starts to work through you and work in you. It's a living piece of God, right? It's not just a word on its own. It's a living piece of God, right? Like a little piece of a jigsaw. And the more pieces you have, the bigger picture you will have of God and your work in God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Not outside you, but in you. Richly. And then it says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So this morning, right, if you were in the worship, we had this. We had psalms, we had hymns, and then we had spiritual songs. People were just singing from their heart to the Lord. Isn't that right, church? Okay. With grace in your hearts to the Lord. And it says, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, this morning, as I said, right, the root of worship is gratitude. You understand? If you've had a hard life, right, and God has taken you through many things, you will love God much. Isn't that right? Yes. And you look back at your life and you think, my God, he saved me from this and this and this and this. He's taken away my addictions. He's given me a new start and a new life. And listen, only you here, everyone here, only you know what he's done for you. That's why the hands go up at worship. Isn't that right? It's not you in the flesh. It's you in gratitude. Oh God, you saved me. Jesus, hallelujah. And then all these words start to come out of your mouth. And you are meditating on this during the week, right? And listen, when you do this, right, you are working in the Spirit. You understand? If you can write a list every day and you do 10 things on that list, and every day you meditate, you think, oh my God, you saved me from this. Thank you, Jesus. And you start speaking, right? Maybe you start doing your little religious prayers, okay? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? Like I did. And then you go into a overflow. And then that overflow, you might get a gift to express Jesus. And you might go into your divine spiritual language, right? And you would just get lost in worship. Do you see? But the root is gratitude. Yeah? It's gratitude. God wants us to be grateful every day. And whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because the cross. We go back to the cross. We go back to the resurrection, don't we? We go back to Christ walking on the earth. We don't forget that he was naked, right? You don't forget he took our shame. You don't forget that he was abandoned and rejected. His family were nowhere to the scene. Disciples left him. But God is with him. You understand? You understand that the cross is everything. What he did for us. That's why it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So when we are praising in the morning and your hands go up, right? That's not you. Right? That's the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God, the role of the Holy Spirit is to give Jesus glory. You understand? It's not you. It's not you saying, okay, everyone's worshipping. I know what's wrong with them. I don't want to do it. It's not that. This is flesh. Right? The Spirit of God in you who set you free of addictions, right, of the past, of the trauma, demons, mental illness, poverty, sickness, right? All the things that he's rescued you from. Your hands go up. The Spirit of God is in you. He's inhabiting you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And then God will start to worship. As I said to the worship team, only God in you can teach you how to worship God above. Isn't that right? A man can't do it. A woman can't do it. They can tweak the muscles and mechanics, absolutely. But true worship is gratitude. Jesus, thank you. Bless you. Thank you. I was there. And then, you know, church, if you've got friends, right? And they're not where you are. You see their life, don't you? And you go, oh my God, that was me. Don't you see that, church? You think, my God, that was me. That was my old friends, and they're doing the same thing from 10 years, 15 years. You've got people you see, and they're in the same position. And you think, my God, God's done something for me. Do you understand? It's changed my family. It's changed my mother. It's changed my father. And then the gratitude starts to grow. Right. And then the hands go up. Right? That's where we need to be. Thanksgiving and praise. This is the character of the new man. So that was verse 17. I'm going to stop there. I'll read it again. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah, right? So a pattern to follow. Paul teaches that because we have been raised with Christ, our mind and focus must now be on the things above, not on earthly things. We don't need to worry about what's going on in the world. That's not a problem. Right? And if you're getting caught up on the news or social media, and I still love the news. I wake up in the morning, I'll be on BBC, I'll be on Fox News, and I'll be following all the latest stuff on the news, right? And think, oh no, that's going on, and that's terrible. Oh no, look what's going on here. And then you're getting the news from this world, which is not our world anymore. Alright? Our news is from heaven. So Paul is saying, put our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Because why? We have died. Baptism, didn't we? We died to the old life. Baptism is very serious. If you take it serious, it's very serious. If you don't, it won't have much impact on you. It's not our problem. We belong to a different kingdom. And even though we have to live and work and go to work in this world, our source is the Lord. The job I have, the company I have, who's above him? Do you understand? When you realize that the people above you or people around you, right, and you're working in a company or whatever you're working and you're not happy with things or people are not treating you very nicely, you say, Father, you know what? I don't, you know, Lord, sort it out. Right? I've done this. Lord, you know what? You gave me this job. And this person's here, that person. Lord, you know what? It's cramping my style, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be in peace, Jesus. This is not arrogance, right? Because to be a Christian is no joke. It's not a joke, is it? It's not easy. It's not for the weak. People think Christianity, it's a crutch, and anyone can. I think it's not, my friend. When you have to deny yourself and hate your old life and follow Him, you try it and let me see. But because you do that, there's a grace. There's a supernatural grace that, that's my son. That's my daughter. No, don't mess with them, mate. No. Just like a father, when we see God the Father, and if you've grown up with a father that protected you, right? And many of you haven't, but if you see God the Father, He would protect you. Any father would protect their child. If I've got a $1 trillion company and I've got people in there, and my son comes to me, Dad, I say, okay, I'll take care of it, son. Wait, you. Isn't that right? It's not a vain thing. Because God is relational. You understand? It's relationship. It's not pride. If your father loves you and he owns a company, he's going to start looking after you, right? That's simple kingdom dynamics. It is nothing extraordinary. It's just because you have a relationship with God, because you come to church, because we take communion, because you honor the Son, because you're trying to live holy. Do you understand? These things set you differently. Because everyone, we spoke last week, many are called in it. Everyone's called. Yeah? Few choose, aren't they? You've chosen. And God honors your conviction. He honors that you've chosen Him. He honors that you've made the effort and you're trying to honor His Son. Regardless if no one else sees it, He sees it. And God honors that, church. You understand? So God is not about that. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills you, there is access to a new nature. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be saying hallelujah a lot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I never use that. What's wrong with you, man? What's this hallelujah business? Come on. You know why? It's an internal praise. Access to a, now listen to this, a new nature. Okay, don't go to sleep. Are you still awake, church?
Yeah.
Think of Sunday dinner later on. Right, get back here. There is access to the new nature, the new identity. Very important, right? New identity, because we are a new creation. Right? You have a new nature, a new identity. Because we are a new creation. You get it? I say it again slowly. All right. There is access. Now the Holy Spirit comes into you. He gives you a new nature. I say it in English, right? It's simple. A new nature. Right? That new nature has a new identity. And that new identity is the new creation. Is that right?
Yeah.
You can ask me later if you don't get it. All right? He then begins to change us from the inside out. You see, that's how you know you're working with Him. Not instantly, right? You might be a stubborn goat. It might take you a little time. Some people are very stubborn goats, right? And I appreciate that. You may be stubborn, right? Sometimes quickly, that's where you get people. Wow, look at that person. They're on fire. Sometimes gradually, but always purposely. Is that right? So as Jason was saying today, don't lose hope. Right, some people are just stubborn. You know, I don't know if you've seen those videos, right, where the dog grips. We take the dog to the vet, and the paws go in, and they won't go anywhere. They dig in their paws. Some people are like that. They're just very stubborn, right? And the vet's going to help them, right? And the Holy Spirit wants to help you, right? So it's not that. It's just that you don't, you know, you're not prepared to let go. Sometimes quickly, sometimes gradually, but always purposely. The old behaviors are put to death, anger and impurity are laid aside, and the new man is put on. Okay, all of you here, new creation, new man, new identity, marked by holiness, mercy, kindness, humility, forgiveness, love, and peace. As the word of Christ dwells richly within us, everything we do is done in His name. And the result is real transformational. transformation taking place, right? That is the result. You can't fake it. You can do the hallelujahs, you can go to church every Sunday, and you have no transformational change. All right? So you've got to think of it, the two. Now we're going to look at some examples of church members filled with the Spirit and how that filling led to a visible change. And it's just a small section, a church being transformed. And we get a snapshot in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It's a small verse, right? If we can read together, I'll read the verse, right? This is a snapshot of a church being transformed. 1 Corinthians 6:9. You've read it before. Right? You know it. I'm going to read it slowly. And of course, you'll get the notes later on today. So 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Isn't that right? Do you understand what this verse says? Isn't that awesome? "And such were some of you." Right? There you go. If I point to everyone and I point to myself, then we feel better. Right? "And so were some of you." Right? "But you were washed." Look at the words of everlasting life. "But you were washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Isn't that awesome? You see, if you're just reading the word and the Spirit of God can't get in there, nothing's going to happen, right? You've got to remember the Spirit is working with the Word of God. And those two are one, right? So the church in Corinth was made up of people saved out of very serious sin. You see? Churches are, when people come to church, they go, "Look, everyone's got their hands up and they're all grateful." I said, "Listen, people didn't start here like that. You make the mistake of thinking these people in this church are all happy, clappy Christians." I said, "Listen, a lot of people came from a lot of terrible sin and demonic, very deep demonic stuff also. You understand?" So the church in Corinth itself was morally corrupt. The city was a Sodom and Gomorrah city, right? So Paul, after listing the sins that once marked people's lives in the church, Paul says again these powerful, hope-filled words, "And such were some of you." These are the words of genuine transformation. Right? This is not a church that affirms. This church does not affirm. This church in Corinth doesn't affirm it. It transforms you. Their past identity no longer defines them, because through the Lord and by the power of God, right? And I'm getting back to here. They have been washed. Sanctified just means set apart for God's purpose. And justified, meaning declared righteous before God. Do you understand? Even on your worst day, you made a mistake. Your old creation is making you sin. And you think God doesn't love you. Right? The biggest lie I've heard for so long. Listen, you had a little slip. Pick yourself up. Recover quickly. Sorry, Lord. Do you remember what I used to say a long time ago? If a king falls into the mud and he stands up, is he still a king? You see, so church, listen, that's what God is saying about you. If you being a son of God or a daughter of God and you have a bad day, right, because of your immaturity, because you haven't been equipped, right, to function, that's all it is. Most Christians haven't been equipped for the work of ministry in the church. So they thought, "Oh no, I've been baptized," and then the next day they say, "Oh no, that wasn't a real baptism." Satan starts talking to them. You're still watching your old things. No, 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 no. You're learning, aren't we? Aren't you learning?
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible say, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus"?
Yeah.
You see, so you've got to be around people that understand the Word of God, who can train and equip, not knock you down and persecute you and put your sins upon you. You're just learning. You know, no one has a baby and you say, the baby hasn't got a job or car. Where's the job and car? Hang on, I'm just a baby. Isn't it right? Baby Christians, when they're coming, right, we don't expect them to be perfect. We expect them to grow and have people around them that will nurture them and help them grow up into all things. That's the work of the church, right? So their past identity was not brought up. The old man has been put off and the new man has been put on. You look at yourself, look at your life, look where you are, right? And you've got to think, okay, Lord, you know what? I need to grow more. That's it. It's simple as that. I've got to grow more. Because no one wants to sin. No one wants to be doing the things that we used to do. Right? No one does. But you have to learn that God says, listen, a son, a daughter, you know, that's really not you anymore. That used to be you. And I know it's a habit, but I've given you my Holy Spirit, right, who is the greater one in you, to take you from the old to the new. These are the words that you should be listening to in your heart, right? Not condemnation, right? You don't be perfect. There's no perfect man or woman, but we follow a perfect Lord and Savior. So the old man has been put off and the new man has been put on. So when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a real change of nature. Former patterns of sin begin to loose their dominion. Think about this, right? Loose their dominion. New holy desires are formed and a renewed nature starts to come to life. The power of the gospel, this is what we're talking about, right? This is why we want to tell people about the good news of the gospel. The power of the gospel has transformed them and can also transform us today. That's one example. I'm going to give one more example of the Holy Spirit producing boldness. I'm going to be reading a small verse from Acts 4:1. Okay, so we're just seeing different situations in the Bible where the Holy Spirit comes into a man, okay, and they have different changes, okay, attributes start to change. So this is Peter and John are arrested after preaching about the resurrection of Jesus and healing a layman. And so the scripture says, Acts 1 in your Bible says this. Acts 4:1. Apologies. Acts 4:1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them into custody until the next day. For it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas and the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexandra, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them apart in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Referring to the miracle. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. These are the words of God for us today. And this is the verse 13 that I want you to focus on. Now, when they saw the boldness, okay, Christians, fill the Spirit of God, you need to get bold and bolder. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and preached and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. So the Holy Spirit in you is going to cause people to marvel. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Do you see the effects of the Holy Spirit in you, brothers and sisters? It produces boldness, right? Because why? Where's that boldness coming from? It's coming from a sense of security given to you by the Spirit of God in you. It's not through anger or strength. It's a boldness in you, right? Because the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. So for us today, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, this March of February, you need to make every opportunity to make sure you're filled with the Holy Spirit and that Spirit of God is working through you. So as we read through the scriptures, we begin to see a picture of what a person filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. This helps us check whether we are on the right track in our walk with God. So you guys, okay, the Word of God, the scriptures we've just read is a mirror. You look at this mirror, you examine yourself, okay? And then you decide. Real transformation takes place within. Again, for some quickly, for others more slowly, but God is at work in each of us, shaping us to reflect the image of His Son in us, right? So from bit by bit, you'll start to change. You're going to transform from bit by bit by bit. So I'm going to just end on the five steps here that I've just picked up from what we've read, okay? Steps to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I've got step number one, very important, you died with Christ, right? Before resurrection, before we can have a resurrection, we must have a funeral. We must die, okay? Everyone here, you have to go to a funeral, you have to die. You must die. Baptism symbolizes this death to the old life. So very important. Number one, have to be dead. Right? Number two, set your mind on things above. A mindset and attitude must be focused on Christ. We must be born again. You get baptized, you die in the water, you're cut off spiritually. The Spirit of God comes in you, life. You see? Baptism, very important. And then you set your mind on things above. You don't get pulled into the world and politics and different people doing different things trying to pull you into their storm, right? Don't do that. Okay, your peace that God has given you is in Jesus Christ. Number three, pull off the old man, church. Listen, you're going to have days where you're going to stumble and you're going to fall and you're going to regret, right? Put off the old man daily. Lay aside the old nature, because Paul reminds us, and such were some of you, right? So there's a transformation, there's a process taking place in every person here. When the Holy Spirit's in you, there's a transformation taking place, right? There's things being thrown out. As I use the analogy, you've got a beautiful house, right? And God says, listen, I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to remodel your kitchen, right? I'm going to have top spec kitchen, marble floors, marble bathrooms. Getting rid of that old rusty bed, I'm going to put a beautiful bed that as soon as you walk in it, you're going to be on a cloud. Hallelujah. All right? So God is changing, honestly, He's changing the dynamics of your house. This is the old house. This is the old rotten furniture in you, from your mind all the way inside you, from your past and the way you were brought up, the way you were treated, the things people spoke over you, right? All that junk has to be cut off, right? That is the sanctification process, throwing things out, throwing old ways out, right? So very important that you understand the process. And some days you may use the old rusty hob, right? And you may forget you've got a brand new, a top of the range spec marble touch hob on the side. So you use the old rusty hob. Oh, sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. So if you have this picture, right? If you have these kind of analogies, you will understand, I forgot you've got a brand new kitchen there and you're using the old rusty hob and maybe you have to go and get wood for it. But that one there, you just touch it, right? It puts the food, goes in, and it's cooked in 2 seconds. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? What I'm saying is you got to look at the old creation and the new creation. Right? Put on the new nature. Through, now listen, this is not self-help, right? I'm not motivating you, right? This is required that you do this through the Holy Spirit, right? Everything I'm talking to you is spiritual, right? Put on the new nature through the Holy Spirit. We are given as a new identity. The Holy Spirit is your new identity, right? Your new plan, your new purpose. That I can do this because I can do all things through God. And every promise is yes and amen to the glory of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm always above and never beneath. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Do you understand? This is what you're signing up to. It's so awesome that it's going to take you some time for it to get into your spirit and for it to be your truth and then for you to walk it out. Okay, so there's a time there, right? Put on a new nature. Boldness for some of you, right? The boldness of Peter and John, they recognize that those had been with Jesus. Do you see? For some of you, there's going to be a boldness that people are going to say, this is not the person that used to be with me. That's not the person. They're talking differently. It doesn't mean violent. It doesn't mean rude. It means there's an inner boldness. There's a peace in you that you start to walk in the wisdom of God, right? Because the boldness comes, so does wisdom come, right? It's not just, you're not just bold for no reason. It's God's wisdom coming in you. You're speaking up. Like JSL was saying, giving a friend the right information, right? Some of you have to give people the right information. Yeah, and that takes, it doesn't take boldness. It takes boldness in the workplace, right? It takes boldness to tell people certain things. You know, in my old workplace, I was working there and we had lots of people and it was a sales room. And they were saying, oh, Jesus. And it started to grate on me. Oh, and they were using Jesus, not in the right way. It grated on me. And then I went up there and said, listen, mate, that name cast that demon. Stop doing it. I don't like it. Stop it. And they went, they froze. I said, don't do that. That name, I've seen that name cast that demons. Yeah. That name cast that, I've seen demons flee. You don't know what you're saying. He said, no, I'm really sorry. You know, just say it's a habit. I said, I know. Listen, I'm just saying to you that name. Is the name of Jesus. And you know, when they see you and they see the conviction, it changes. And if people would have that boldness, right? I'm not saying you should all be doing that, right? But there'll be times in your life where you need to open your mouth. There'll be times where you have to use wisdom. I'm not talking about getting fired, right? Because I don't get fired. Okay, I use wisdom. God will use you in that place at the right time to say His son's name, because he knows everything. I'm talking about a different style of ministry. So that time, there will come a time where you will have boldness, okay? So that was that. And then, if we struggle, okay? I'm going to close it down. Now, if we struggle in any of these areas, right? If you feel I'm not bold enough, or I'm not saved, whatever you're thinking, right? Ask the Lord to help you, right? Whatever you guys are struggling with today, right? This word today is not to condemn you. It's not to say you need to be here, right? It's a progression so that you can have the revelation, so that you can move right into the areas. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to move, just move a bit more and move a bit more so that God can use you more, right? Everyone here, listen, everyone here, whether you know it or not, right? You want to have this awesome life with Jesus, don't you? Isn't it right? Whatever he died on the cross to give you, listen, whatever he died on the cross to give you, right? You want it. I promise you. You may not know you want it, but you want it. Because that is what is going to keep you alive from year. When I say alive, I mean spiritually alive. 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years. Listen, I've been working with God for 12 years, right? Praise Jesus. 12 years. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name, right? Seen many amazing things, spiritual things, awesome things, breathtaking things, right? I'd love for you guys to enter into it. So you can shout and rant and rave from a place of gratitude. That's it. That's it, church. I would love for you to have history with the Lord. Isn't that right? Have a history of pictures. I've got, you know, 200, 300 notes, dreams, pictures, outreaches, homes. You know, and obviously, me and my wife got in hold, there's Maldives on there. Right? So, you know, I take specific things because God has given me certain things, right? And I look back sometimes and I thought, wow, isn't that awesome? In 2013 and in 2014 and in 2015 and in 2018 and in 2022. Then I realise whatever I'm going through, right, on my worst day, my worst storm, because God is good, his nature continues. You see, church, God is good. He can't change being good. He doesn't help you. He doesn't help you in one thing and the rest, he goes, oh, you get on with it. We get that from people. We get conditional love from people. Right? And we need to break that. It's the life on the pit of hell. God's nature is good. Now, you may not get the thing when you want it, right? But you will get it when you need it. Isn't that right? So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to go into another preach. So, totally something else related to this. And I can't. But anyway, listen. I'm going to just stop at a time of prayer. And then we're going to, from the prayer, we're going to go into communion. Right? So I just want to pray for everyone here today. And the word spoken today. And then we're going to just shift over to a time of communion. Just bow your heads, please. Right? Just receive this morning, right?